This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins.
Let all that you do be done in love.
Now on Patchwork Heart Radio, this is Remember You Are Loved Live with your hosts Martha Fernandez-Sardina and Bill Snyder.
Welcome to Remember You Are Loved Live. I am Martha Fernandez-Sardina from San Antonio, Texas with
Bill Snyder. I'm the founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry. You're listening here on Patchwork Heart Radio 2, Remember You Are Loved Live. Martha, it's great to be with you again.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, too. I am in what has been on and off, cold and warm San Antonio, but you are all chilly up there, aren't you?
Yes, I'm freezing here in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, but it is getting warmer day by day as we are waiting for the sun to rise on Easter.
Ah, that's right, and that's what we are all awaiting. That's what we're all preparing for, and during these weeks of Lent, during this Lenten season, we have a what I call prime time. We have a beautiful time, a select time that the church gives us so that we might focus in on what matters most, and that is on the sign that has been given to us. Last week, Bill and I were reflecting on several of the mass readings, beautiful mass readings beginning with Ash Wednesday and various things that the church proposes for our consideration. And as we have entered now this first week of Lent, it's called, we begin to see that the Lord is pointing out very clearly what this is about. One of the readings during this week is precisely that reading from Jonah, whom the Lord sends to Nineveh. Now, Bill, did you know that modern day Nineveh is in that area of Mosul, Iraq?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that when we see in, for example, the first reading of Wednesday of the first week in Lent, that the prophet Jonah is sent to Nineveh, and he's sent by God to a people who are actually outside of the Jewish people, and he calls them to repent. And that's exactly what the call of Lent is for all of us, to repent. And boy, does the world need some conversion and repentance in that part of the world and everywhere else, including our own hearts. And one of the things I love in that reading is that they immediately heed. They hear the call and they go ahead and call a fast, and they put on sackcloth and ashes, and the king sits in ashes, and he says that neither man nor beast nor cattle nor sheep, nor anyone should taste anything or eat. And so, in fact, we see this Wednesday of the first week of Lent that they're doing exactly what we were called to do on Ash Wednesday. Remember that first reading was to call the trumpet, to proclaim a fast for the Lord, that we would all go into mourning. And what is that about? It's a time for us to take a look and say, are we measuring up? Are we measuring up to the standard that God has set before us? And are we measuring up to the person that he has created you and me to be? And if we're not, we should go into mourning. We should weep. We should repent. We should change. We should take on these penitential practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and various sacrifices that we can add. And also, we said last week, didn't we, Bill, that we can take on things, you know, not just give up things, but also take on things precisely to show with our deeds that we're serious, that we mean business with the Lord. And I don't know if you caught that in that reading on Wednesday, Bill, but one of the things that moved the heart of God when he sent Jonah to the Ninevites was that it says, when God saw by their actions how they turned away from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them, and he did not carry it out. So here's something important. It's not just words, it's actions. God is expecting to see in your behavior and in mine that we mean business, that we are serious about repentance and conversion. In other words, that we mean seriously to become the person that he has created us to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, Martha, one of the things that you draw on there, you were talking about, is the need to repent. And, you know, we are all sinners. I myself am a sinner, and I need to admit that. I need to know that. And that's part of that repentance, you know, coating ourselves in ashes like we did on Ash Wednesday, putting the ashes on ourselves as a sign that that we are we are dust, and to dust we shall return, and that our broken and sinful nature that is part of us after the fall of Adam and Eve is going to be something that will remain part of us, and so we have to acknowledge that and then really do work, as you said, work to and act in accordance with God's law and repent of our sin. Repentance requires action. You know, we have to have a couple of things for that. I like how Archbishop Lestecki, our archbishop, so clearly highlights this when he talks about, in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, by the way, he highlights this by saying this. You know, he said, when you sin, you throw a rock or a baseball through a window. You're required, yes, to go and do two things. Number one, you go to apologize to the owner of that house, but that's not enough. That's not enough. You need to do something to repair the window.
Right.
And, you know, you either need to pay for a new window, go put a new window in. You just can't, you know, say, oh, well, God, I'm sorry, and I'm so sorry, your window, now you got to figure it out. No, we got to act. We have to do something. So that's why the prayer and the fasting and the weeping and the mourning and all of those things that God calls us to do are those actions to live our faith out in an outward way.
It's what we call reparation.
And yes, reparation.
We need to do that. And, of course, Christ himself is the one who repaired the our sins. He's the repairer per excellence, and he took our place and died our death so that we might live his life. And yet this is exactly what Lent is about, and the entirety of the Christian life. It's about helping us appropriate that which he did for us so that we might, in fact, live that life that he won for us. And that's why that psalm also for the first Wednesday, the Wednesday of the first week of Lent, Psalm 51 is, you know, in fact, it's prayed in the Liturgy of the Hours every Friday, if I'm not mistaken, and it's that great Psalm of David in which it's the prayer of repentance, you know, have mercy on me, God, in your kindness and your compassion. Blot out my offense, thoroughly wash me from all of my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. So there's that recognition of sin, that owning up. You know, if there's one thing that really disgusts me, and I see this in the news, we even saw it recently, you know, one more public figure, somebody in high office who lied about something. Oh, they say it was a mistake, I misspoke. Own up. It's not just that you misspoke. It's what even motivates a person. But that's us. We do it too. Sometimes we lie with our lips and with our minds and our heart. That's why at the beginning of every Mass, we begin with the act of contrition, you know, with my words and in my thoughts, and, you know, we own up. We don't say, you know, the devil made me do it, or the flesh made me do it, in fact, make us do it, or the world, or we blame it on someone else. So we take responsibility, and with humility we come. And just to wrap it up, my thoughts that I had as a beautiful reading on Wednesday of week, on the first week of Lent. The sign, Jesus says, that the Ninevites converted, and yet so many others, he says, this generation is an evil generation, and it seeks a sign. You know, you're always asking God for a sign. You have a sign right here. I am the sign. And he says, you have among you a sign greater than Jonah here. Of course, the Ninevites had the repentance, and if you read the whole story, you'll know that Jonah later is not so happy that they converted so readily and that God was so merciful. And so he says, you know, enough of this prophet business, and he hops on a ship, and then of course they throw him overboard because there's a storm, and then he's in the belly of the whale and so forth. And Jesus is saying, you have a greater sign here, which is of course pointing to his own resurrection, that just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, Jesus is in the tomb for 3 days, and he will rise again. But here's the point. Jesus is the sign of God's mercy. Jesus is the sign of a new life. Jesus is all that we need. His life, death, and resurrection should be proof enough for us that God loves us and that he is giving us all that we need to live a life according to truth and to love. So that's the first thing that we wanted to reflect with you all as we continue this journey of this first week of Lent. God is calling us to repent. God is calling us to humility. God is calling us to see in Jesus the sign that God has given us, the proof that God exists, the proof that God loves us, the proof that we can live a life of love. And that is not always easy. Sometimes it's challenging, like in that story that you were saying, Bill, of having to repair the broken window. We've broken some windows with our words, with our thoughts, with what we've done and failed to do. And now's the time to repair that window. Right, Bill?
Absolutely. So we have to acknowledge that. We have to go out and proclaim the gospel and also recognize our own sinfulness. There's a quote that highlights this really well, Martha. It's from the saint that I'm reading this Lent, St. Ephrem the Syrian. And St. Ephrem says this in one of his hymns: "By the mouth of my sons, pray for thy son, for I have sinned beyond my ability and have repented below my ability. I have scattered above measure and gathered below measure." This is a great quote from him, and I think it highlights exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that, you know, we truly never can repair completely for our sins. As you said, you know, Jesus is the one that takes, he's the ultimate, repairer of all the damage we have done. He takes all the sin upon himself. But it doesn't mean that we should stop striving to make reparation for our sins. And St. Ephrem is kind of realizing that, hey, look, my sins are so great, there's nothing I really can ever do to fully, make up for them, but we've got to keep trying. We have to keep an effort going to first of all, thank God for his incredible mercy, right, and love of us. But then we're called into action to spread the gospel, to do as much as we possibly can.
Absolutely. And we see that sort of that play in all of the readings throughout Lent, in fact, throughout the entire liturgical year. But we'll see it now if we're all paying attention. I highly encourage you who are listening to us to really read the readings every day. Mass is the optimum place to do that. And we see how Jesus talks about you have to die to self. But if you don't die to self, you risk dying to eternal life. In other words, there was one of the readings, you know, I set before you life and death. And then again, that was at the beginning of Lent. And again, later, you know, that the Lord has the path of the wicked and the path of the virtuous. And we are to choose, right? It's up to us to strive to be more perfect than the Pharisees. He says, you know, don't, in one of the gospel readings, don't just imitate them. I mean, do what they say, but not what they do. Why? Because they had what Pope Benedict XVI calls proper devotion or relationship to God, proper in quotes, meaning, yeah, you're doing all the right stuff, but it's a loveless relationship because you're not loving thy neighbor as yourself. You're not showing the deeds of conversion of love. So we do, you use a key word there, strive. We need to excel. We need to strive. We need to surpass, Jesus says, the holiness or the righteousness of the Pharisees. One of the readings during this week also, we see that the Lord says that we need to not simply do as the pagans do in Matthew 5, but to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's what Pope Benedict also called the new Torah, the new law, the law of love. You have heard it said, but I say to you. So this, my dear brothers and sisters, is a prime time for conversion, a prime time for excelling in love of God and love of neighbor, and showing that we are carefully heeding the Lord's call to be holier today than yesterday and holier tomorrow than today, that we are in carefully observing his statutes and his decrees so that we might in fact inherit that beautiful eternal life that he has come to offer each one of us, and to be one day transfigured as he himself was, so that we might shine with him and enjoy his glory for all eternity. Lent is a time for conversion because Lent is for lovers, for men and women who are called to love the Lord their God with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves.
Amen. Well, this has been an episode of Remember You Are Loved Live here on Patchwork Heart Radio, Radio 4, the Catholic Heart. Until next time, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
And I'm Martha Fernandez-Sardino with Remember You Are Loved. And remember, you are loved.
For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Remember You Are Loved Live. This production is a joint initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry and Prepare the Way Enterprises and may not be reproduced or distributed without express written consent. For more information about Remember You Are Loved Live, please email info@patchworkheart.org or info@rememberyouareloved.com.